Welcome to a brand new episode of the Chiefs Wire podcast. I'm Ed Easton Jr. On today's episode, it's officially Super Bowl week as the Kansas City Chiefs return hoping for back-to-back titles against the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 58. We take a look back at some of the best press conference sound featuring Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and head coach Andy Reid. Also, Chiefs Wire managing editor John Dillon shares his goals for the Chiefs heading into this Sunday's game. We get a visit from Niners Wire managing editor Kyle Madsen as he shares his prediction from the 49ers' point of view ahead of the big game. But first, I share my thoughts on the state of the Chiefs heading into another Super Bowl and higher expectations as the villains. Another Super Bowl appearance for this year's Chiefs, and it's funny because when you look at the way this team started, you had the loss against the Detroit Lions that a lot of people were surprised about, but as you saw as the season went on, the Lions were a way better team than people gave them credit for. The up and down play, there was a winning streak earlier, then you had a moment where they kind of stalled. I always point to that game in Denver where Patrick Mahomes was sick. They looked very sluggish on offense. The defense had trouble with Russell Wilson. They lose that game in Denver. They head into a bye. They come out of it. They lose another game. I believe it gets Philly. Those games really stood out because you play a game against Philly. It's on Monday Night Football. Of course, Marquez Valdez-Scantling drops the go-ahead touchdown pass late in the game. Changes the dynamic of that whole situation. Everyone's looking at him. They're looking at the wide receivers again. You talk about the game against Buffalo, where the infamous offensive offsides from Kadarius Toney cost them the game there. It's all these little moments that we always were kind of beating the Chiefs down for. And when I say we, I'm talking about people that watch the game, critique the game, have so many different opinions on what goes on. You follow this team, those games could have easily been wins. And yes, you could say that about so many different teams in the league and their matchups. But those games in particular, as devastating a loss as they are, you still have to look forward to just what this team could possibly be. And I think a lot of us got caught up in the, okay, they lost this game. They lost to a team that they should have beaten. Maybe they're not good enough. Maybe they were always good enough and we just had our doubts. Maybe we just had that you know, they're calling it Chiefs fatigue. This team has been in the Super Bowl 4 out of the last 5 years. 4 times out of the last 5 years is something that you don't hear often. And I kind of go back to the whole Brady Belichick era. They were dominant, but 4 times out of the last 5 years, in the manner that they've done it, they've changed the offense in a sense that it's not as explosive. You're not seeing the big plays on a regular basis. The defense this year became the main focal point. It was such a different team. I don't know if I've ever seen a team evolve that the way that they have. Because if you match up the way this team is set up to go against the 49ers here in the Super Bowl this Sunday with the team that won 4 years ago, two completely different teams, two different philosophies. Patrick Mahomes is on the record already for saying that he's embraced the game manager role late in games, because that's basically what he did in the victory over Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. He was a game manager. They scored early, and the second half, it was just about controlling the offense, keeping the ball safe, and the defense dominated. They were the reason why they won the game against Baltimore. And to add to this, recent reports of Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs for so many years, after he was let go by the Washington Commanders just earlier this week, we find out during the Wednesday press conferences from Andy Reid that Eric Bieniemy was not only at the Baltimore Ravens game, but he was giving like a pep talk to the offense. He was talking to guys like Mahomes, to Kelce. It's just so interesting. And he was still under contract with Washington at the time. I just found that to be something that you have to keep in mind of the culture in Kansas City and with this franchise, that a guy that is still the offensive coordinator for a whole, for another franchise, wanted to offer his support, his words of wisdom to his former team, a team that he is no longer employed with. It just shows the connection is deeper than what you see in terms of like, oh, this person is an assistant coach, or that person is a backup quarterback or anything. There is a connection that a culture that Andy Reid has cultivated, starting from his time in Philly. I will not disrespect the Philadelphia years, but what he has in Kansas City, where they all want to come back. Matt Nagy came back. He's an example of that. This season, they traded for Mecole Hardman just to have him back in the system. There is something about that, and I feel like that is the main reason why this team, once again, is in the Super Bowl. Yes, we hear that they're underdogs. Yes, we hear that they're the villains, because everyone wanted to see Baltimore and Detroit. You know, if you go based off of X or anything on the internet, a lot of people were intrigued to see what Detroit and Baltimore would look like. The Chiefs did their job. There's no reason to be a villain. There's no reason to make Taylor Swift a villain for some reason. It's all stuff that I know what this team has done throughout the year. And when I say the year, I'm talking all the way back to rookie minicamp through training camp. They've preached the same thing over and over and over. They said our first goal is we got to win the division. Then after we win the division, we have to win the AFC. And then we can start talking about Super Bowl. Well, now, as I'm speaking, we are talking about the Super Bowl. We are in February. We're still talking about the Chiefs. And now we're talking about them possibly adding another title. It's one of those things where you have to admire what Andy Reid has done for this franchise, and it's going to be some growth. It's going to be continued growth, because these guys all care about each other. They talk about it often. Steve Spagnuolo with the Spags We Trust shirts. There's a lot of love there, and this is a franchise, a team that will continue to defy the odds if they can stay with this continuity that they have. So I'm very compelled to see how this game turns out on Sunday, like everyone is compelled to see. And I'm going to actually play back some of the sound from Vegas, starting with Patrick Mahomes, as he shared his thoughts on everything leading up to the game, as well as Eric Bieniemy's pep talk prior to the AFC title game.
Chance to win another.
Yeah, I mean, very grateful, very blessed. I mean, I understand how lucky I am to be in this, on this team, to come into a team that was already a winning organization with a winning culture, with a lot of great players, Hall of Fame players, and being able to just kind of jump right in and get in a year where I can learn and learn under Alex Smith. I was blessed, and so I want to maximize these opportunities. I know that they don't always come. You're not going to be in every single Super Bowl. And so whenever I'm here, I enjoy it. I enjoy the week. And then I just try to go out there and play my best football and like I said a little bit earlier, make a memory that will last forever with a lot of guys that work extremely hard.
Right here. Patrick, Michael Furrer with Berg Sports Network. Growing up, you were a multi-sport athlete. How has playing in those different atmospheres helped you for the biggest atmosphere of all, playing in the Super Bowl?
I think it's just playing all the sports. It taught me how to compete. It taught me how to learn how to make things happen, to make adjustments on the fly. And then it's all kind of evolved into the way I play the quarterback position, being able to fill out space and make the pass like a point guard or throw across my body like a shortstop. I mean, it just learning how to compete and to adjust on the fly and make things happen is definitely something that's helped me become the player that I am.
Patrick, what are the things that you as a quarterback have to do well to be effective using the screen pass, and what does it do for your offense?
I mean, it helps that you have one of the best coaches of all time at knowing when to call them. So with Coach Reed, I think just being able to be able to utilize your eyes, utilize your drop, try to make everything look the same, so that whenever the screens do happen, you can get that D line to a track, get that D line to rush, and then getting the accurate football where the guys can get downhill. Coach Reed's done a great job, Coach Heck, Coach Nagy, of teaching them, and the guys that we've executed them well. But just that, more Navy is knowing the right time, and I mean, I feel like Coach Reed has a great feel for that.
Hi, Pat. Sean Grandy, Medill Reports. So Kansas City traded for Miko Hardman mid-season to kind of bolster the wide receiver room. What has that meant for you guys as an offense to get Miko back in there? What has his impact been, and what does it mean to have continuity in big games like the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think, I mean, first off, you get that speed that he has, and being able to stretch the defense horizontally and vertically whenever he's on the field. Just adding another guy like that. And then I think even more than that, another guy that everybody loved in the locker room, being with us the year before and the years previous, everybody had loved Nicole and the way he brings the energy every single day. And I think a lot of times that can be bigger than anything, is just having guys in the locker room that want to play hard, that want to come together and go for this common goal. And it's always great to get those guys in there.
Hi, Pat. Good morning. Federico Olvera from Dame Bola. Pat, if you guys win the next Sunday, Coach Reed would equal Coach Bill Walsh by winning their third ring of Super Bowl, and you would equal to Troy Aikman. What are your thoughts about this, by reaching Troy Aikman about this?
Yeah, no, it'd be extremely humbling. I mean, I'm extremely grateful just for the situation that I'm in and being able to play in these Super Bowl games. And more than anything, I mean, getting that back-to-back Super Bowl champs, it just hasn't been done a lot in history, and it speaks to the whole team of not being satisfied with winning one, being able to come back that next year and continue to work. A lot of times, after winning the Super Bowl, you want to relax and feel like you're done, but being able to have that mentality to battle through the adversity that we've battled through this season and get that Super Bowl ring again, it'd be extremely special.
Patrick Holiocco, if you can take us back to the lowest moment in your life and to see where you are today, what would you have told yourself back then?
I don't know exactly when the lowest moment would be, but I think what I've always had is just to continue to follow your dreams. I think that's something that was instilled in me at a young age, and I got to see a lot of pro athletes and how hard they worked, and so I knew I had to work hard. And so even when baseball wasn't working out in college, or football, I wasn't starting that first year in college, whatever that was, I just knew if I continued to work hard, that stuff would pay off. And that's the mentality I've had in everything I've done in my entire life. And I still work hard to this day. I know in order to continue to be great and follow my dreams, I have to do that.
Hey, Patrick. Steve Weich, NFL Network over here. Coach Reed just told us that Eric Bieniemy paid you guys a visit last week and spoke to you guys. When did that take place, and what was that like to have him back in the building and kind of feel him a little bit?
Yeah, no, it's always great to have EB in the building. Just being there and the energy that he brings, and the mentality that he brings, you can feel just because he has that intensity, but he loves it. He loves being there. He loves being a part of the team and being a part of the of that culture. And so just having him back in the building was really cool, and listening to him talk and his energy, I mean, it just kind of got everybody. You could ask guys, man. I think guys had a little bit of, like, chill bumps at the end, like, hey, we got EB's back here. And obviously he didn't get that head coaching opportunity, but I'm excited for him to continue to coach football and to continue to make his impact on the game.
I don't think I'm superstitious. I think I like to live my life a certain way in hopes that I get, you know, good things to happen to me. But I'm not wearing the same underwear every single game or nothing like that. No, she hasn't. She's focused on entertaining the crowd out in, I think it's Singapore right now, or I think that's in a few weeks. But I know she's out in Japan, Tokyo maybe. So she's just working on entertaining them, making sure she's ready for her performances and everything. But the Super Bowl, we'll worry about if she can make it. These bets are crazy. Patrick Mahomes' face? I gotta lose a bet to get something like that, man. No, I'm not a big tattoo guy. Man, I got asked this the other day. I'd say Justin Timberlake again, just because he's coming out with a new album. I'm pumped for it. He told me and Pat congratulations for getting to the Super Bowl, so we got to bring it home for him.
And then last one, who's getting a ring first, the Niners or Dallas?
I'm hoping I get this ring on Sunday. I know that. Man, EB was a special coach here for a long, long time, man. And I he's like my uncle or a father figure in the football world for me. And everybody knows how fired up he can get, and I definitely share that same passion to come into work every single day and to play this game. And one of my favorite coaches of all time. So I think the biggest thing that we could take away from who he was as a player, as a coach, is just his passion and his desire to be ready for every single scenario out there on the field. His football awareness and his understanding of the game was second to none when it comes to football. And you know, I'm hoping for the best for him coming up in his near coaching career. But I think who he is as a person is always going to go with me in life. Man, it fuels us with confidence, but we got to start putting up more and more touchdowns as an offense, and knowing that that's going to be big playing against the San Fran team is putting up touchdowns instead of field goals, and making sure we make their offense feel the pressure to keep scoring. Yeah, the Eagles, baby. They I'll tell you what, man. The Mexico City crowd playing down there at the Azteca was absolutely unbelievable, man. That experience I'll remember for the rest of my life, and hopefully we get another chance to play down there in the future. The crowd down there was so electric and just so open and warm to the game of football and American football, and it was an experience that I absolutely enjoyed. I'm pumped that it's coming to Kansas City, man. I'll be it'll be right there in my backyard, and I'll be able to have some fun going to all the games. That's a question for Taylor. About my teammates thinking that I'm a good tight end, it might be a little biased. We have a lot of fun in the building, so hopefully I won over every teammate that I've ever had. But I think this team is special because of how close we are and how much we support each other. I'm trying to be the best tight end on Sunday. I know that. I never thought it would have landed. I didn't even think it would have landed. I would have got a response from her. We're here and we're all happy. I know that. I mean, just different people, different players, different coaching staff on both sides, really. So it's not only are they seeing something different, but we're seeing something different. One of our corners is over there playing, and it looks to see that he's liking it over there a little bit more. So hopefully we can get this win and make him miss Kansas City just a little bit. Being worldwide is way different than just being famous in Kansas City.
Is there anything that you still haven't quite gotten back on and still getting
into? Nah, I got it all. I got it all figured out, I think. I just love it. I love it. I love seeing my teammates get to show their personalities, get to tell their stories. It's you know, coming up here is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that I've been able to you know, go through a few times. And I guess I'm just comfortable in the atmosphere and in the chaos that goes around us. And you just got to embrace it. You know, the more you fight it, the more pissed off you might get or more negative you might start thinking. I'm a guy that likes to think about things in a positive way. And you know what? For a week, why not go through all this craziness and showcase my story, my family, and everybody that has gotten me to this point.
What's up, y'all? This is Kyle Madsen from the Niners Wire. So I'm probably supposed to pick the 49ers here. Like, that's probably either what you're expecting or maybe what I should be doing. Maybe my fan card will get taken or whatever. But Let's just draw the path to a 49ers victory first. I think it starts on the ground. As good as the Chiefs defense is and was, and as good as Steve Spagnuolo is, I think the Chiefs can definitely be run on. They gave up 4.5 yards per carry this year. They ranked 27th in rush defense DVOA. And I think that's something that the 49ers are going to try to exploit, not only with Christian McCaffrey, but with Deebo Samuel. You might even see a little mix of Elijah Mitchell in there. We haven't seen a ton of two running back stuff from the 49ers yet this year. And I think that's something that we might see in the Super Bowl. Like, they might be waiting to kind of unveil that little wrinkle in their offense. So I think that's what they're gonna really try to lean on is the run game and doing some exotic stuff with that to try and get the Chiefs at least back on their heels, where Steve Spagnuolo can't just kill Brock Purdy. Because I do think with what Spags can do with blitzing and all the dime stuff the Chiefs like to run, I think they could really, really confuse Purdy in a way that not a lot of defenses, have been able to. But if the 49ers get that ground game going, they get Purdy in a rhythm early with some just short completions, you know, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback, whatever it is. I think that they'll be able to get their play action game moving, get the Chiefs going the wrong direction, opening up some easy throws for Purdy and trying to mitigate some of what makes the Chiefs defense so good. So that's the path to victory on the offensive side, is just kind of getting behind their run game and leaning on that, even in second and long, third and medium, like go to the ground. I think that's something that we'll see the 49ers do. And then defensively, dude, they have to tackle. They stink at tackling. They missed 150 this year as a team. And then you saw it in the first half of that Lions game in the NFC title game. They just got pushed around. Chase Young was not good at defensive end. Javon Hargrave, as effective he is as a pass rusher, is not a good run stuffer. They got moved around. You had Fred Warner going the wrong way. You had Dre Greenlaw going the wrong way. You had Oren Burks, the Niners' third linebacker, going the wrong way. And then you get guys in the secondary taking bad angles, and you wind up with the Lions averaging 6 yards before contact in the first half. Before contact. That's crazy. So if the Niners can tackle, just get guys on the ground, the Chiefs live in that short passing game. And I think that Rashee Rice is so good after the catch. Everybody knows about Travis Kelce, but even Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco, those guys could both have huge games with screens, and even in the run game, when they get into the second level, it's just not a sure thing that the Niners are going to be able to get them on the ground. So if the Niners tackle, though, and can limit yards after the catch and can put the Chiefs in positions where Mahomes is having to rely on Marquez Valdes-Scantling and having to rely on, I don't know if Kadarius Toney's going to play, I would guess not, but I don't know. And you know, relying on those guys and like Justin Watson, then if they can make them do that, then I think they can probably get some stops against the best player in the league. So that's the path to a four. Oh, and then also they can't have it come down to a kick because Jake Moody, their rookie kicker, stinks. So that's kind of where that lands. That said, I'm going to pick the Chiefs. They have, and it really comes down to this. I noted some of the Niners' flaws there, but it comes down to this for me. They have the better quarterback. They have the better coach. They have the better defensive coordinator. I think overall, maybe not talent-wise, but production-wise, they have the better defense. And all of those things, it just, objectively, I know the Niners are favored in Vegas, but it's really tough given how they've played this postseason to draw a realistic map to a 49ers win down at Allegiant Stadium. It's not off the table. Like, if they go in and win, I wouldn't be stunned or floored or anything, but just kind of looking at the really key factors in winning a championship, I think that's where Mahomes' experience, Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo's combined brain power to offset what the 49ers do well on each side of the ball. I really, really like the Chiefs in this game, frankly. So that, like I said, maybe that makes me a bad Niners Wire editor, but just given what I've seen with this team and what I've seen watching the Chiefs, that's where I landed. So give me the Chiefs 30-23, and I'm out.
Yeah, no, he's a great kid. And so that's a reason I did those. And it's for a good cause. State Farm does a good job. So, you know, all that is great. And Jake from State Farm is a good kid too. So I'm the old man of the bunch, but they're fun to hang with, you know. Listen, I'm not very good at it. They just kind of picked me up. That's all. Yeah. I like ranch.
What's your favorite Super Bowl snack?
Doritos. Kenny Chesney, I put him at quarterback. All right, yep. Yeah, listen, we loved our experience there. The people were so warm and kind, and then we played the Dolphins, which was a good football team. So it was ended up being a great game. But, yeah, I mean, if we have to do an international, it's a long way to go for an hour of football. But if you know, we enjoyed it. We did enjoy going there. Yeah. So Tom actually played for me at San Francisco State, and then he coached with me there for a year after he got done playing. And then I took him with me to Northern Arizona, and Brad Childress was the offensive coordinator. Larry Cantera was the head coach, and he's like 90, a lot of years old, and yeah, and still going strong. So, but great experience, yes. Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah, great school. My brother graduated from there. No.
And is State Farm going to bundle your Super Bowl rings?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And I have a friend here who wanted to say hi to you. Do you know who this is?
Come on. No, we met with John Dornbos.
Yeah. Carrot Top, man. I haven't seen you change your hair color.
I did you for you.
Huh? You're still buff, though, man. Still lifting like crazy. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. For you, man, anything. Yeah, man, come on. Absolutely. Good seeing you. Yeah.
Coach Reed, when you look at what Steve Spagnuolo and the defense have done this year, how has that changed how Matt and you guys' scheme on the offensive side has changed?
Yeah, not much. He's done a great job, though. I don't want to, but it hasn't changed much, no. But he has done a phenomenal job there. Yeah, the pride of Rutgers. Huh? I've had two running backs from Rutgers. One last year, a fullback, and then this year, a halfback, or last couple of years, a halfback. So, but both of them are dirty tough. I mean, tough, tough guys. And that's why Pacheco is. He brings great energy. Yeah.
Well, here we go. The Chiefs have made the Super Bowl kind of against all odds, or at least that's how it feels to me. You know, having watched this team all season and obviously been writing about them, you know, they looked downright bad at times this year. I mean, it's just been an absolute roller coaster. I don't really know what to make of it. Clearly, the Patrick Mahomes myth-making is... you know, gonna reach its apex here if the Chiefs manage to win this Super Bowl. So, as far as a prediction, we did a group project between all of the different wire sites. I picked the Chiefs to win, not only because I'm a shameless homer, but also because I mean I think that they have the quarterback advantage. So. I've got Chiefs 28, Niners 13, which I feel like is fair. I mean, you know, you would certainly hope that Patrick Mahomes would be able to put on a show, you know, score some points. I think it's likely that Pacheco ends up, you know, if you're looking for a kind of sleeper MVP candidate, I think that Pacheco is the guy. You know, he's just such a tough runner, you know, and I think that the Chiefs will kind of look to go conservative, you know, if they get in the, goal to go from the three type spots. You know, I, I, I think that we've seen some pretty gnarly turnovers over the course of the season, you know, and you would just hate to see him not play it smart, you know. So I think that the Chiefs win comfortably. I think it'll be a good game. I mean, I think it'll be an exceptionally watchable Super Bowl. You know, I think that it's well balanced everywhere except for the quarterback position, and then obviously, you know, Christian McCaffrey is pretty darn special, and I look forward to seeing him play. I don't watch enough Niners football or Panthers for that matter, you know, in years past. But either way, I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. You know, they probably have the running back advantage, but you know, I think Pacheco will be able to hold his own. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Hope you are too. Thanks for having me on, Ed, and go Chiefs for sure.
I want to take the time to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode. Please follow us on X at The Chiefs Wire for your latest updates on news and everything going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm Ed Easton Jr. Until next time.